Representative Gray, if you'd like to move the amendments from the seventh meeting of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the minutes of the meeting on, what was the date?
February 27th.
Thank you, the 27th.
Any discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. We're going to hear some more testimony. Many members of the committee who are on the outstate hearings have heard testimony from St. Anthony, from the Secretary of State's office regarding the local government timelines, but since some of the more closely associated local government officials with the association themselves are here today, Ms. Anthony is going to provide a synopsis as well on her testimony again, and then we'll hear directly from this Association of County Officers, League of Cities, School Board Association, as well as Association of Minnesota Counties. So, Ms. Anthony, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself on the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am here today to talk a little bit about the time frames for redistricting and the roles of our office at the Secretary of State's office. As Representative Paulson mentioned, many of you have already heard this, but for the advantage of the other participants here, I will go over it once again. Basically, when the legislature has completed the redistricting, we are hoping in March of 2002 or sooner, that's when our work really begins. After the enactment of redistricting, the Legislative Coordinating Commission provides our office with a copy of the plan. We then take that plan and provide portions of the plan to the counties, and then the county auditors provide portions to their municipalities that is relevant to their areas. We will also be providing copies of the plan and the maps to the public for the cost of publication. Our office is also responsible to clean up the plan, if you will. Among those corrections are adding territories which were omitted from the plan, removing duplicate occurrences of the same territory, and resolving ambiguous boundary descriptions. Then a copy of each of the corrections shall be provided to the affected county auditor, the candidate, and the clerk, and our office will then continue to recommend to the legislature any technical corrections to the redistricting plan. Here comes a time frame now. 60 days after the legislative redistricts, or 19 weeks prior to the primary, whichever comes first, government then begins drawing boundaries for wards and precincts, and that date is April 30th. After that, county commissioners and school districts that elect members from election districts must be redrawn within 80 days after redistricting, legislative redistricting. In the meantime, one of the big roles of our office is that the voters' records may change. Precincts may be added or deleted, and polling places may change. We then must make these corrections in the statewide voter registration system and prepare for the 2002 election. Our office will be providing training to the counties and basically oversee this entire process. Candidate filing begins in July for the 2002 election, so you can see we're really under a very tight time frame here. Our office is going to be providing assistance to local governments, and one of the things we will be doing is we've started a task force, a redistricting task force. Actually, it's called a working group. Since we've last met, we had our first meeting, went very well. It consists of counties, city staff, school district staff, township, clerks, and then their respective organizations and associations. So we have really nice representation on that. In addition, our office is mandated by law to hold conferences for the 3,200 clerks and auditors in the state to prepare them for redistricting. These conferences will be held the week of July 23rd of this year in several locations throughout greater Minnesota. We're currently preparing logistics as we speak here today. So we will be traveling to northern Minnesota, northeast and northwest, and southeast and southwest, and then having a couple here in the central metropolitan area. To give local government some ideas what they can do now, basically they need to learn as much as possible about the redistricting process. And it's a good thing to establish a committee now or a working group, and we would encourage you to have someone from legal staff on the working group as well as a technical staff person. It's currently, we are recommending that you prepare a plan outlining what process you'll be using for redistricting and defining those responsible to go ahead and prepare for the implementation. Another good idea is to obtain maps of your local government areas and associated census population data as well. And then, of course, be prepared to move in a very short time frame, as once they get their data, it's going to move very, very fast, and there's not going to be a lot of time to make the decisions that you can be making now as far as roles and responsibilities and expectations and whatnot. In addition, our office has a wonderful website that we will be adding a link on redistricting to, providing local governments and you or whomever would be interested in areas where they can learn more about redistricting as well as what we're doing in our office. And then there'll also be an internal website for counties who have access to it with our minutes for the redistricting working group and plans of that we'll be preparing for the conference, et cetera, those types of things. So that's pretty much what I have to say here today. If anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Ms. Anthony, at the first meeting that you had, the working group, any topics come up, of discussion you'd like to share with us? Or?
I think, yes, it was very good. We had very good attendance. One of the questions that did come up was Maptitude, the tool of using Maptitude. There were several questions about it, about the cost of it. And we have asked the associations to work with the caucuses to talk about if there is a way that they could get it at a fixed rate. We also talked about other tools other than Maptitude. And basically, we talked a little bit about an agenda of what the conference would look like and what kinds of tools or resources or training that the local governments believe they need to be able to do their job effectively. And we will again be meeting, I believe, in the next couple weeks. I'm not sure exactly of the date right here, but we'll be continuing meeting. And one of the other thoughts was to have a redistricting guide for the local government, similar to our election guides that we provided to schools, towns, cities, counties, and the election judges, basically outlining what the process would be and some of the tools available. And it was a very good meeting. I'm looking forward to the next meeting. And I will admit to you that there is some anxiety about the whole process, knowing that they are running up against a short time frame and that there are a lot of new elected officials who have never been through a redistricting process. And so it's our job, and we believe that as much assistance as possible and open communication from both Senate, House, and the Governor's Task Force and our office is extremely important.
And it is important to do, obviously, in our hearings in greater Minnesota. There were only a handful. Representative Pawlowski asked at Winona, for instance, how many had gone through the redistricting process, and we asked Marshall as well. There weren't a lot of officials, and I think we heard that from the association representatives as well. So, any questions from members at all? Not Ms. Botzik. Come forward and welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Lucy Botzik. I'm the Administrator and Legislative Counsel for the Minnesota Association of County Officers, which includes all 87 county auditors who will be responsible for the redistricting in the counties. I have some general comments and then some more specific ones for your consideration. First of all, thank you so much for this forum. As Ms. Anthony indicated, there's an awful lot of folks out there that have not gone through this before and are concerned. And I think one of the challenges for this process, amongst many, will be the fact that this is likely going to be such an open process that there are going to be so many players, so many sources of information that I think one of the roles potentially that this group can serve is just as a coordination in a variety of ways to make sure the right messages and consistent messages are getting out for time frames and whatever other information needs to be shared with all of the parties. And for those that haven't heard on the radio coming up, I understand that the federal government has said they are going to issue the census numbers without adjustment. So we have at least one piece of certainty coming down the road. First, some general potential areas of interest for the group, things that might impact this whole process. One would be contemplating any litigation down the road, whether there will be litigation from the census numbers or whatever else there might be, and what impact that's going to have on the process, and if there's anything that can be done to at least make sure people understand what that impact is and what that might do to time frames or other activities in the process. Second, there's been a lot of discussion about the different principles, the communities of interest and whatever. Certainly, communities of interest to some extent are in the eye of the beholder. So I think if there's some way to have some common approach to some parameters or definitions or something, that would certainly be helpful. In going through a lot of the materials, I've noticed that there have been a variety of attorney general's opinions over the years. It might be useful to put some of those together and identify what their impact might be on the process that we're about to be going through here. Again, Ms. Anthony already referred to the different technologies and resources that are going to be out there. It can be a little bit overwhelming for someone who maybe doesn't want to do the top shelf approach or has little or no understanding of GIS technologies and how to use them. Some assistance in that area might be useful. A situation that we've got with the counties is we've got a variety of counties that either have not started the E91 addressing process or are in the midst of it, and I've had several auditors, and I certainly don't know the answer to the question, wondering just what the real impact of that situation is going to be when you've got different counties and different states of getting into that process. And the final general comment would be that I too would encourage some coordination and communication with the Secretary of State's Working Group Committee on Redistricting, whether both groups would meet together or certainly having folks attend or at least be briefed on it. Actually, I think attendance probably would be better, recognizing that time certainly is of a premium, but I think that will be a good forum and can probably help with the communication. In addition to that, we've come up with a few more specific questions at this point, and part of the problem has been that I've sent out several requests for information and questions from the folks, and quite frankly, most of them aren't even quite sure where to start asking the questions. So this is just a first cut, and I suspect as time goes on and more information comes out, there will be more. The first question would be talking about the initial access to the census tract, the block maps, and the population counts. Is this something that each county is going to have to generate for themselves or get access to, or is all of that data going to be provided through one central point from the state to each of the counties? And the same thing with once a new congressional legislative lines are drawn, how is that going to be shared with the counties? Is that going to be either data or maps? Third would be what assistance, if any, might be available from the LCC or the Secretary of State or whoever in aiding any local governments that might wish to reestablish county and city boundaries and have some assistance in doing so. How are the counties going to be expected to provide the new precinct and local district boundaries to the state once those are established? I think it's fair to say that there's some real concern about the fact that we're going to have a new voter registration system online sometime pretty much in the middle of this process. And how is that going to work? What is the absolute final date that will be in place so that everything else in the system can be built around that? And as part of that, how will the address records in that system be adjusted to reflect the new precinct and election district data? And how will subsequent corrections to individual voter records be accomplished in the new system? I've got about four more, and then is the Secretary of State still planning on attaching the track block identifiers to each voter record? And if so, how will that be done? Will it be a state or county responsibility? And in what manner does this address utilization of democratic data to follow, or what manner will it follow? What about the counties without precinct finders? There are, I think I heard somewhere, there's about 20 of them that are not. So how will the adjustment of the voter and election records happen for those counties? I think another concern, and this is again a coordination and communication issue, is sources of information for the counties and the other cities and schools and townships on information on redistricting. Are we going to have information coming from a variety of sources, Senate House, the GIS committee, the Secretary of State's office? I think we need to be concerned with putting that all together in a comprehensive and consistent fashion, because I can certainly see one bad piece of information getting out there, and it could cause major problems for everybody. So I think that's a real issue. What happens if there's an error discovered in the Tiger File data? What are the cities and counties supposed to do with that? And that would conclude some preliminary questions that we have.
Thank you, Ms. Bostic. Ms. Bostic, were you around 10 years ago when we went through the redistricting process?
Mr. Chair, I was around. I was not involved with redistricting.
And is it your feeling that the working group, the Secretary of State's office, is obviously going to be helpful in answering many of these questions that you've just kind of laid out before us? So.
Mr. Chair, I would certainly hope so.
I'm not sure that you had mentioned the GIS assistance. Are you planning on purchasing Mappitude yourself, as you know, with the association, to work through your members, or is that in discussion in terms of how the counties will handle that? Or
Mr. Chair, no, there's not been any discussion of that. I think if that were to happen, that would probably be a better question to ask Mr. Corbett from the Association of Minnesota Counties. At this point, it's a question of what the local jurisdictions are going to do, and that question really hasn't been answered, and in fact probably hasn't been asked in a lot of cases. So
any questions for members at all?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ann Higgins, League of Cities. Welcome to the committee.
I'm Ann Higgins from the League of Minnesota Cities. I really very much appreciate the chance to be here this afternoon. Much of what Ms. Bostic has just said, I can echo really from the city's point of view. I was around 10 years ago. Unfortunately, my mind has since slipped ahead to the future, and I'm not remembering as much as I would like to. In fact, I was just explaining that the League of Cities moved in 1992, and we took a lot of our old files and decided to discard them. And my worry is that many of my redistricting files from 10 years ago are probably gone. But I have the opportunity at this point to scour our sources and our files to hopefully find a few of the things. One of the things I would like to say that Ms. Bostic also referred to is the need to coordinate the communication that is coming to local officials about the process. Secretary of State has new responsibilities to help us with training, which is very important. It is true for cities as it is for the counties that a great many of the folks who will be taking responsibility locally for redistricting were not in office 10 years ago. And there is another factor I'm just handing to you now, a list of cities that we believe at the League have wards. There are 92 cities on the list you have in front of you that I just had the page give out. They may not be accurate. What you will see there, the first part of that list is a list of cities who reported to the League back in 1996 that they conduct elections by ward. The list of statutory cities below that also have indicated to the Secretary of State's office that they can, or their county, that they conduct elections by ward. At least that's what the data seems to show. I have not surveyed the cities yet, but what that means to cities is that they have a situation similar to yourselves in the sense that they have members who run from a district who are going to be obviously very interested in how to look at their the makeup of their ward and precincts as they go forward. So in addition to an election process, we also have a representational issue that obviously has to take on some very important meanings. And one other point I would also like to underscore for cities is that many cities also face the need to work with their school districts, something that often isn't a daily kind of situation they are familiar with. But in terms of the planning for redistricting school district elections, especially if a city has more than one school district that has boundaries within the city, are very important to understand and to work through in terms of how that election process will fit together in the future. And even when a school district may not have member districts within it, there are also issues for the school district that have to be identified and addressed as the process goes forward. Often the cities are in a situation where they're trying to deal particularly with their own immediate needs to satisfy equal population and so forth within ward boundaries. But in addition to that, when they go to the point of looking at precinct lines and other elements, they have to be aware of what the school district issues also are and how that may or may not facilitate voters getting the information they need about which precincts they vote in for which elections, and that is a very important point. Finally, the deadline that cities face for redrawing wards 19 weeks before the primary. If there is no legislative plan, I have a question I don't know the answer to, which is if we have redrawn our wards and then the plan is final, do we have authority to go back and redraw the wards at that point, or is that simply going to mean that we go with what we have and we have to draw more precincts in order to match the legislative lines that we now have in front of us, which may be different than what we expected them to be. And I will be looking to the committee here and to the Secretary of State's office to help me understand how that might be something for us to be aware of as we go forward in case that situation should arise.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, I'll try to
answer them. Ms. Anthony, is it possible just to answer a couple of questions? I know the issue of the voter registration process coming up, being in place in time, if that's an issue, if you can just comment on that, as well as what Ms. Higgins had just mentioned in terms of the wards and the deadlines. Is that something you could comment on briefly? If you could just come forward and just... I know you're probably going to address this in the working groups, or maybe are already, and you're just raising that issue with us. And
okay. Yes, going back to Ms. Bonsack's testimony with regards to the new voter registration system, it is scheduled to be implemented the month of June. And basically what's going to happen is county auditors and their staff will be attending the first phase of training in June. When they get back into the office, they'll be able to pull that up, and the current system will no longer be able to be used. So we are looking at June for that. In addition, our office will be providing training on the redistricting portions of the voter registration system once the system is in place and whatever it is they need to do in the new system. The vendor election.com that we have purchased this from has an actual training module specifically for redistricting for their system that they have developed. So we're very comfortable with that part of it. With regards to the precinct finders, yes, there are about 20 counties who currently do not have precinct finders, but our GIS specialist, Randall Cutting, who is actually here today, as well as another one of our vendors that we are dealing with called Aaron Technologies, and our office is working to build those 20 precincts for those counties who currently do not have them, at least so that they have a base to work with, and there is something there before the implementation of the new voter registration system. So I don't want to address those two issues. With regards to Ms. Higgins' comments and concerns about the deadline and not meeting the 80, or I guess it's 60 days for the wards, Minnesota rules, chapter 8255 addresses basically what would happen and the procedures used if the legislature does not meet their deadlines. And so we would then refer back to the rules and go from there. And again, our office will be providing assistance to local government. We will not leave anyone kind of hanging out there to dry. We want to make sure that everyone knows what their roles and responsibilities are, because we do have an election to put on in 2002, and we have to meet our deadlines in the statutes on that as well.
But no presidential primary this time. Any questions from anyone? Yeah, Representative Anderson.
Your registration, does that mean that everybody has to re-register?
Ms. Anthony?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, that is not what that means. What that means is if your legislator may change during redistricting, or your precinct may change during redistricting, and so your voter records, that current voter records, may need to be changed. That would be a nightmare. We don't want to go there.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions of Ms. Higgins? Mr. Miller, if I could just ask, I'm sorry, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know over the course of the last few hearings, we've talked on and off about the standards that will be utilized by this group in deciding redistricting. And what I'm referring to basically is this, what was before the House concurrent resolution. It's part of package documentation I think we ordinarily hand out. I don't know if we handed it out today or not. I guess I'm wondering if the Minnesota Association of County Officers, the League of Minnesota Cities, and these other various groups that are going to testify before us today, if they're familiar with that concurrent resolution, if they're going to look at that concurrent resolution, and if so, would they be willing to give us some advice on whether or not the standards that are noted in that concurrent resolution are ones that we should consider using as we go through this process again?
Ms. Higgins?
On behalf of the League, we have not, in an organized manner, I'm aware of the concurrent resolution, Mr. Chair, but we have not taken a position on it. It certainly might be something that the redistricting working group would be able to work through in communication with all the units that are affected.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gray.
I guess, thank you, Mr. Chairman. More specifically, I guess I'm wondering, would you plan on getting back to us at some point in time on, and if so, would that be in the near term, on your assessment of those standards?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gray, I know that the redistricting work group is scheduled to meet again on March the 14th. I can't speak on behalf of the Secretary of State's office, but certainly it might be something we could put on the agenda at that meeting.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Ms. Higgins? Thank you. Mr. Miller, if you could just maybe come forward. I know Ms. Higgins and Spotsick, they actually referenced a question regarding the Tiger files. What happens if the Tiger files come in inappropriately or the geography is incorrect? If that's something you can comment on, or maybe Mr. Gillespie, but if that's something you could comment on, it might.
I'm Lee Miller. I'm the director of the GIS office. Mr. Chair, I guess Tiger is well known as not being a highly accurate data set. It's built more for relative accuracy, not for, I guess, spatial accuracy. Right now we're working on dealing with the relative accuracy problems with Tiger. To answer the question, I guess I'm not really aware what to do if the counties run into Tiger problems. There's such a wide-varying degree of problems that they can run into with Tiger.
Mr. Meyer, are you a participant in the working group with the Secretary of State's working group?
Mr. Chair, no, I'm not.
I'm not sure if that would be helpful or not to be in the communication loop, or if you're communicating with any of the associations, but the question has come up, obviously, so it's something that will have to be looked at, I guess, from their standpoint. So, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Sorry, Representative Luther.
Are the members of the Secretary of State's working group the same as the members of the governor's working group?
Well, Ms. Anthony, maybe you can just identify who the members are, because those members are different. The governor's group actually just has a 10-member citizen-based commission. Represents the League of Women Voters, Common Cause, but this, I think, is more focused on local units of government in particular.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Luther, the members are, there are three staff persons, three or four, from the Secretary of State's office. The Minnesota Township Association is represented, the Minnesota School Board Association, the MACO, the Minnesota Association of County Officers, and the League of Minnesota Cities, as well as some of their membership. So we have county staff, auditors, city clerks, town clerks, school clerks. That's pretty much in our office is what the working group consists of.
And Ms. Anthony, where do you meet?
Because this legislative session, and it's very hard to find a room here. Minnesota League of Cities has graciously offered their site, and so we have been meeting over across the street at the league, and that's where we will meet between now and the end of June.
And so if any members or staff or others are interested, they can contact you in terms of meeting times, etc.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, I'd be happy to provide you with the schedule, and perhaps this will be on our web page as well. We haven't really determined what we will be putting on the web page, but I'll be happy to provide you with a schedule. Anyone is welcome to attend at any time.
Thank you. Bob Meeks was unable to be here, but I think we have someone from the School Boards Association. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Yes, my name is Tom Deans. I'm legal counsel of the School Board Association. And I'll be brief. There's 15 or 20 school districts that have an issue here. Most school districts, their elections are at large. And many of the issues that we talk about don't come into play. We have 15 or 20 that have election districts. Those include some big ones like Anoka, Hennepin, and Elk River. Then we have a multitude of situations, especially in outstate Minnesota, many of which have come up in the last 10 years since the last redistricting. Since under the consolidation laws now, when districts consolidate, they can put in their plan how their election districts or how their districts are going to set up, and they can have in many cases, what they have is some representation from each of the previous school districts, and those can be set up as multi-member districts where you have three from this old one and three from this old one, or you can have two and two and a couple at large, or you can have just about any way that you can come up with. And there has been a lot of turnover among superintendents and that out there. We did a survey to try to find out how many districts had election districts, and many of them didn't know what we were talking about. Or, you know, most superintendents have been in their district under 3 years, and so that's difficult. But the place where the problem comes up for us is in order to create the election districts, we really need to take and combine the city or township precincts. We take those precincts and you add those together, and then you end up with an election district. Because we can't cut their precincts. Because when you send the stuff into the Secretary of State, it comes back, and all we can get is a full precinct. So that means that we need to be cooperating with the cities and the counties, and they need to be cooperating with us as we get down there when it comes to creating these precincts, so that if we have to come up with six election districts, we have some way that we can come up and join them together. We can get six election districts, whether this one's got 40% of the people in the school district and this one's got five is a problem, and it's almost a problem that's beyond our control. Because we can't do it. The statute requires when they get redistricted and created, that they be approximately equal in population. Our problem is in many cases that may turn out to be impossible. All I can say is we're going to do the best we can.
Commissioners, any questions? Commissioners, are you a member of the working group?
I'm
Secretary
not.
Of State's office or representative?
Someone from MSBA is.
Okay. Right.
And I'm sure that I'll be working with them as it goes forward.
So Mr. Pender is taking notes on this situation. So thank you very much. Mr. Corbett. Association of Minnesota Counties, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Kevin Corbett. I'm a policy analyst with the Association of Counties. Let me start by saying that the association is the organization that represents the elected county commissioners. On behalf of them, I think it's fair to say that we put a lot of trust in our county officers who administer the election system and who will be working very closely with the redistricting process. And oftentimes would defer to their expertise on these issues, and the county commissioners will get more involved in some of the hotter political or policy questions that happen at the local level. Obviously, the issues on the timing are of concern to the commissioners as well as for our officers. I think one thing that Ms. Botzik didn't mention that she probably she could have or should have to toot her own horn is that the county business also does not stop during this process. So you'll have county officials in the auditor's office who are in the middle of the county budgeting process for the following year as well, at the same time that redistricting is occurring and election administration. So we're often taxing those offices to the max, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for doing the job they do at that difficult time. In response to Ben Gray's question on the principles, the first item that we did, and it's in December of last year, we received a letter to our association from Senator Pogemiller, who was chairing the, I think at that time was a joint subcommittee, or maybe it was just a Senate subcommittee on redistricting, and fleshed out some of the principles that they were going to start looking at. I sent those out to our members and asked for some reaction. The only reaction I got back on some of the principles dealt with the deviation of the 5% deviation or a different number or ratcheting that down. Not knowing what the new software availability is going to be like and how easily that'll be accomplished, I did get some concerns from especially some very rural counties we have counties now whose population is under 5,000 people in some cases, and how difficult it might be to draw compact, contiguous districts and meet the criteria of a 1 or 2% deviation or 5% or whatever is decided to be done for local districts. So there was some concern about that, you know, to draw the districts with that deviation and also meet the other principles that are included in that. That document, although I didn't get any response back that anybody had any problems with any other principles that were the community of interest and others like that. In response to the chairman's question about what the association's role is going to be to help our members in this process, we are just beginning discussions on what kind of a resource we can be. I'm not sure if that's going to include any buying of the software and going that route or not. There's also an organization that is titled MCCC, which is a conglomerate of about 50 counties, which is the Minnesota Counties Computer Cooperative. They may decide there's a role to play depending on what the members are asking from us. With that, I will stop and just reaffirm that the county commissioners place a lot of trust in our officers on this process. We'll be working with Ms. Botzik and keeping an eye on the work group and making sure that we feel that our officers are able to complete their duties for the county as well as the election and redistricting duties. With that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Corbett, for testifying. Appreciate it. Now, you mentioned the deviation issue. Were you talking about 5% or 1% on the county? Just so I'm familiar, I mean, from the county standpoint of how they would use their own principles for redistricting, not the legislative lines? Is that?
Mr. Chair and committee members, and I'm really a rookie on this. You've asked a question about folks who've been around 10 years ago. I was thinking back, and I was having a lot of fun in my last semester in college 10 years ago, and not sure I even thought about redistricting at all at that point. But the issue, I understand it, is there's twofold. There's two numbers that make a difference to counties. One is the deviation factor for a county commissioner district, which is similar to what the deviation is for a legislative district or congressional district. The other is there is a requirement in law that if your district changes by a certain percentage, an elected official would have to rerun in the next general election. I think those two things are not tied together, but those are the two issues that have become been raised to me as concerns to watch in this process.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. I know there's one elections official in the audience. Perhaps could share some advice. Marge Christensen of Hennepin County, who's been around a long time and might be able to have some words of wisdom for us on any of the issues you've just briefly heard us. If you're willing to come forward and share with us, it's greatly appreciated. Welcome to the committee. Just identify yourself for the tape, and thanks for being here.
I'm Marge Christensen, formerly the election director in Hennepin County, working on a assistance basis with the MACO organization now, strictly for the purposes of redistricting. Yes, redistricting is an enormous task. I've been through it three times, so I guess I'm one of the few left around that have experienced just exactly what the enormous volume and detail that's required by county auditors. One point that is important to understand is there are actually two different portions of redistricting. One is the policy issue. The legislature to draw their lines, it's up to the county boards to draw their lines. At that particular time, the county auditor's responsibilities kick in. And there's an enormous, enormous volume of work that it must be accomplished within a very compressed time frame. In order to accomplish that work, counties need to know what they're faced with. That's why we have the questions that we do. A simple question, for example, how are we going to get the legislative lines and the congressional lines from the LCC? Is it going to be automated data that will interface with the geosystems that counties have? Is it going to be maps? You know, things like that are critical. And unless we really know what we're dealing with, we can't plan on our end accordingly. Adjustment of the voter file also is very important, and the Secretary of State's office is working diligently to resolve that and give us the answers that we need. They have a brand new system, and nobody knows exactly how that's going to work. I was also on board when the first Secretary of State's voter registration system came on board, and it took a while to iron out the bugs, but technology is so vastly improved that I'm sure that there will be features that are available to counties at this particular point that were not available then. So have I answered some of your questions?
Thank you. Maybe Mr. Millier can just comment briefly in terms of, I know she had one question regarding the data files.
That was an example.
Yeah, as an example. Yeah. But what would happen now versus 10 years ago? I mean, how that process might go forward. And you can restate the question if you'd like, but as an example.
As an example, how our counties, you know, we can't really proceed, and cities can't really proceed until we get the legislative lines and we get the congressional lines. At that point, we must get that data out to cities so they can draw their precinct lines, and then cities get the data back to us so the remaining election districts can be completed. And how are we going to get that data? Is it going to be an automated interface? Is it going to be an automated file? Is it going to be maps? The last time we got the data, we called it the floor plan because we got a great big, huge census tract block maps with the legislative lines on them. We would roll them out on the floor and color in the districts with crayons, basically. So how are we going to get the data this time is an important question.
Mr. Miller, maybe you can comment briefly on what sort of the the technical plan is that we're moving forward with.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not exactly sure what's meant by the term automated file or automated interface, but we do plan on putting two file formats out there for download, Maptitude files and shapefiles. We're aware of there being two software products that people will be using for redistricting, Maptitude and ArcView. So we'll be providing data for both of those products. We'll be putting maps out as well. So there will be data and maps available to download from our website.
Mr. Root, what is the status of the website right now? What's on there now? And I assume that if the House comes up with a plan and puts a map plan out, you would put that on the website. That's sort of what we're hoping for as introduced.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is the plan, although we are waiting for the resolution to be
officially to make it happen. But that's the intent for what's going to happen.
We are planning for that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Muir, I thought the plan was that as soon as a bill was introduced, any bill that you could put up on the website would immediately be up on the website. At least that was, I thought, the intention of the GIS subcommittee. Am I incorrect?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abrams, that is correct, when it is introduced as a bill.
Thank you. Mr. Gillespie, I'm not sure if you have any updated information regarding the director of the census, if there's been any announcements, any inside information you can share with us that we may not know about.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't know if this is inside information, but the Secretary of Commerce held a press conference earlier this afternoon and in that concurred with the Census Bureau recommendation that that adjusted data not be released for redistricting purposes. To date, there is no further word on whether or not adjusted data could be used for other purposes in the future, but at this time it does not appear that adjusted data will be available for redistricting purposes.
And so is the time frame still the same in terms of expecting to receive something mid-March or in the next few weeks that speed up the process at this point?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that the process will be basically on the same time track and will continue as expected is the word that we've gotten that there will be some states will be released very soon. Perhaps this week, and then subsequently, states on a flow basis for the remainder of the month.
Thank you. There's no other business of the committee. Yeah, I should. Yeah, that's. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, if there's any other local government officials or others would like to comment or come forward, that would be a good time to do that. Well, please identify yourself for the tape.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Nancy Jorgensen. I'm a member of the Governor's Advisory Council on Redistricting. I'm also a former elected official. I was mayor of Fridley for 4 years and council member at large for 10 years. I went through the redistricting process in late 91 and early 92 for redistricting Fridley. And it was a very interesting process because not only did we have federal and state statutes that we needed to address with our redistricting plan, we also had to abide by the charter requirements for our community. We do have wards within the city and we needed to divide our city equally down in population by wards. This caused a great deal of shifting of precinct sites, and because of the late time frame with that redistricting process, we had folks that were very confused when it came time for the election process. So I would hope that between the House and the Senate that they're going to be able to come up with a plan this year which will help to alleviate some of those problems for the 2002 elections. Thank you.
Thank you. That's certainly our hope as well, Mr. Arnson, along with the governor's assistance, I know.
And I know the Secretary of State's office, of course, is willing to address many of the problems or issues we've heard today. So, Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jernison, will the Governor's Council be working on any principles anytime soon? And have you had a discussion about what those might be?
Yes, we have, Mr. Chairman, Representative, we have been working on those principles, and we will be ready to vote on them at our next meeting, which will be next Wednesday at 2:30. I'm not sure exactly which room we're going to have, as the House chambers here gets very filled with hearings, but we are prepared to move with them. We have looked at principles, we've looked at the federal guidelines, and are looking at same criteria that would be expected in the federal voting. So we hope to be able to have that to you soon. And we've had some good sessions so far. As a member of that redistricting committee, I'm starting to get emails from other people throughout the community who know that I'm on this advisory board now, from checking out the website that is available through the Minnesota Planning Department on when they can expect these principles to be in play. People are aware that there was a bill put forward in the Senate, but they're also asking whether or not a bill will be coming forward from the House. It was my understanding that it will probably be more in the form of a resolution coming forward from the House, but it would be very nice if you could share some of the information that you have received from your out-of-state meetings with the community members, with this advisory council, so that we have the same information. And I think we'll be able to work very well together that way.
Ms. Jorgensen, is the commission going to be voting on, you know, like the principles, as you mentioned, or is it just a majority vote of those attending? Do you have any idea what the procedure is, or has that been discussed?
We will be voting, Mr. Chairman, we will be voting on the procedures, and it takes a 70% for passage of the voting members that are present.
Okay. Thank you for coming forward. Any other officials or anyone wants to comment from the audience? If not, thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.
I'm going to show you the district map. I have a grab a Carlos.